All right, why don't you stand with me? Let's read the word of the Lord. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5, around about verse 9. Next time we need to make the video a little longer, we'll be all right. I love it. Anyways, all right, we're going to look at, that's probably the only laughing you'll do for the rest of today's sermon. Here we go. I want you to read it with me slowly, and then I'm going to highlight a couple words. And then you're going to sit down after about 8 minutes. I'm joking. After about 2 minutes. Here we go. Read it with me slowly. Blessed are the, for they shall be called sons. Let's chop each of these words up. You know what blessed means. We talked about that already. It means internal well-being, regardless, say with me, of external. You got it. One more time for those who forgot. Internal well-being, regardless of circumstances. You got it. So that's what blessed means. No matter what's going on around me, I have Christ in me, and so I'm good. All right? So it says, blessed are the peacemaker. No, he didn't say peacekeepers. Many of you are peacekeepers. You just want to keep the peace, so you would let stuff simmer if it means we keep the peace. He didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Instead, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Makers, makers. He says, those who, when conflict shows up, we enter into the conflict knowing that by the time we leave, as far as it depends on us, we're going to create a peaceful scenario. That's what he says. That's what he says. He says, if that's you, you're blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. All right. Then he says, here's the fascinating part for me. For they shall be called. That's where I have the problem. I think it should say, for they are the sons of God. That's not what the text says. It says, for they, in a passive way, they shall be called. In other words, you're not calling yourself a peacemaker. Somebody else is calling you a peacemaker. In other words, when you're relating to your in-laws, when you're relating to your spouse, when you're relating to your girlfriend, when you're relating to your coworkers, when you're relating to your ex, when you're relating to everybody, somebody on the outside should look at how you're interacting with the person in that scenario, and they should come to the conclusion that you couldn't do that by yourself. There must be a God inside of you that allows you the privilege of interacting with that person in such a way that they come to the conclusion there's something different about you. You're a peacemaker. And in light of that, you must be a son or a daughter of God, because that's how God acts, which means you have the character traits of the Father, which is why you're a peacemaker. I'm helping somebody today. I'm helping somebody today. Because there are too many of you that say you're a Christian. But when conflict shows up, you either run or you let them have it. And that's not a peacemaker. That's not a peacemaker. Which therefore means you ought to check if you're saved. Because my Bible says that the righteousness of God means, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, you're merciful, you're pure in heart, and you're a peacemaker. Which means if you're not a peacemaker, then maybe you're not saved. And the challenge is that we have too many people in churches that come in church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and you're still facing scenarios that you're dealing with it, and it's all about you, and you look crazy trying to resolve a conflict because you're not interested in resolving it. You're interested in being right. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody can do that. You don't need the Spirit of God to do that. For you to be the most important person in a conflict, you don't need the Spirit of God. That's how, for you to cuss somebody out, anybody can cuss anybody out. You don't need the Spirit of God. You're walking in the flesh. The problem is too many church people are like the rest of the world, going to conflict, walking in the flesh, and staying in the flesh. Last time I checked, my Bible says, you died so that Christ can live through you. You may be seated. Let's see if we can get through this today. Lord, have mercy. My. Today I want to deal with one topic. It's a life lesson. Listen. And if you learn this life lesson, it will put you ahead of the pack. They don't teach this one in school. They don't teach this one at university or college. You got to learn this one from the Bible. I want to deal with how do you resolve conflict. So much so, and I so believe in this, that on next week, I'm going to give you a magnet for your refrigerator. Because I so want this to become second nature for you. I so want it to become second nature for your kids. I want you to model for them and then teach the next generation how to deal with conflict. Many of you today are miserable and you don't even know why. And I'm going to show you why today. I'm going to show you why. This is so huge because so few people deal with conflict well. So let's jump in and let's see. You have some notes. Let's jump in and let's see what they have to say. There are three problems with failing to resolve conflict. There are three problems. Number one, it blocks fellowship with God. Here's what my Bible says. My Bible says, if you, this is so huge. If you have an issue with your brother and you come to church, you're supposed to leave your offering and go solve it before you worship God. I'm not making it up. That's what the Bible says. Ladies and gentlemen, we have become accustomed to cussing each other out in the car, coming into worship, talking about, let's praise the Lord. And it's become so normal. This is so important. It's become so normal that you don't even feel bad about it anymore. You chew your friends out at work, you chew your small group out, you chew your in-laws out, you chew everybody out, and you come into church thinking God is going to accept that worship. So today I wonder if God was to shine a spotlight on all the people who got relational issues that are unresolved, I wonder if there'd be any worshipers today. I wonder. Because here's what he says. He says, don't pray to me. Here's why. He says, how can you say you love God who you have not seen, but you can't work it out with a person in front of you? He says, you're blocking your own relationship with God. No, that's huge. You're going to find out why in a minute. Number two, he says, keep your prayers. Because it blocks your prayers as well. Number two says, it blocks your prayers from being answered. 1 Peter 3 says, hey, dude, don't pray. If you don't treat her right, then don't pray to me asking me for nothing. You want a promotion on your job? Treat her right. Because don't ask me for a promotion when this relationship right here ain't right. He says your prayers are not leaving the roof. They don't get to me. I don't hear them. You're mumbling, but nobody can hear it except you. He says, this is so huge that if you don't get reconciliation right, then your worship can't be right either. So all the running you be doing, all the clapping hands, raised hand, yelling, screaming, ain't he good, won't he do it, won't he do it, won't he do it. Keep all that because it's not leaving the roof. That's not the problem. The problem is that as Christians, we've become so used to looking like the world, we've brought that into church, and so now we think we can just keep going, and God, you know, he's a graceful God. He's a merciful God. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? And here's all I'm here to tell you. Keep your prayers. Ain't nobody hearing you because he takes reconciliation that serious. Number three, you're blocking your own blessing and your own happiness. You're miserable because you don't work out, listen, because you don't work out relational challenges. I love one passage of the Bible. It says, if you sow peace, you will reap peace. Now listen to that. It says, if you sow, 2 Corinthians, if you sow peace, you're going to reap peace because whatever you sow, you shall reap. Now listen, if you sow strife, you're going to reap strife. If you sow misery, you're going to reap misery. This is profound. But it actually gets worse, because whatever you sow, you always reap more than you sow. Jesus. So if you're sowing drama, you're not just going to reap drama. You're going to reap drama upon drama upon drama upon drama upon drama. That's why, ladies, if you marry a man that got drama, and that's what he's sowing, God bless your soul. Because drama finna knock at your door. That's why if you sow peace, the text says, then you're going to reap peace upon peace upon peace upon peace. It's so simple yet so profound. He says, keep your worship if you're not resolving your relationships. He says it's going to block fellowship with you, with me. It's going to block your prayers, and it's going to block your own happiness. So you're not going to have an internal well-being because you don't have relational health. He says you're not going to have internal well-being regardless of external circumstances, because you're making the external circumstances determine your internal scenario. And he says, I'm just telling you, reconcile before you worship. Say that with me. Reconcile before you, one more time. Reconcile. That's it. That's what he says. If you don't do it, keep your prayers. You're playing a game. And he knows it, so you're only playing a game with yourself. You're the only one that's being fooled, because God's not being fooled. He's just not hearing your prayers. The text continues, though. Watch, I want you to read with me the top phrase on your paper. Here's a lie that many of us believe. The lie goes like this. If you believe in Jesus, you will go to heaven whether or not you are merciful, pure in heart, or a peacemaker. That's a lie. It's a lie. Many of you believe this. He says, if you believe that I can trust Jesus but not be as merciful as Jesus is to me, to others, and not watch your motive and be pure in heart, and not be a peace. If you believe that, I am telling you, the Bible says, you ain't saved. In other words, he says, many of you come to church believing, I don't have to do any of those, I'm just going to go to heaven. And your premise for that argument is, well, the Bible says, all I got to do is confess and believe. Here's the problem with that. The demons believe. So be careful when you think you have been saved from the burning pit of hell, so I can now live any way I want to live. Here's what he says to these same guys, Matthew 5, verse 20. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you ain't going to heaven. Here's what he means. He means the Pharisees and scribes, they went to church. They sang the songs. They knew all the songs. They knew all the righteous things to do. But when it comes to being merciful, they didn't want to do that. When it comes to being a peacemaker, they didn't want to do that. When it comes to be pure in heart, they didn't want to do that. And God says, well, if your righteousness doesn't surpass theirs, their fate will be your fate. And many of you today, that's exactly how you feel. You have a scenario right now you're in, and you just know you're right. And you just think, well, it's they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. God's saying to you today, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Can you be merciful to them like I've been merciful to you? Can you be a peacemaker in this scenario instead of just wanting them to understand your point of view? That's what he's saying. And for far too long, people who call themselves Christians believe that we can live any old way. That is why in this world that we live in today, that's so divided, that's so polarized, Christians should be shining. But we're not. We have joined their game. And if you join their game, what you're saying is, that means there's no difference between you and them. Which means there's no Holy Ghost inside of you to make a difference. And I'm suggesting, ladies and gentlemen, it blocks your prayers. It blocks your blessing, which is why you and I don't get to live like everybody else. Galatians 2 says, you died so that he can now live through you. So here we go. 7. You're going to get these on a magnet next week. 7 principles to walk through conflict. Pastor, I've got a conflict. What do I need to do? What do I need to do with this conflict? I'm going to give you 7 steps that you need to take to get there. Here we go, 7 of them. Number one, I want you to make the first move. Make the first move. The first 4 deal with you. It don't deal with the other person. Say it with me. Look at the person and say, make the first move. Look at the other person beside you and say, make the first move. That's it. You need to make the first. But Pastor, you don't understand my scenario. If you understood my scenario, I didn't do nothing wrong. They offended me. The text still says, you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Here's all the text is trying to suggest in verse number, let's go to it. Matthew chapter 25. No. Let's not go there. You can read down your own. Here we go. He says, I want you to be a peacemaker whether you are offended or whether you have offended. I want you to make the first move. All right. Everybody in here is one of these two. You're either a turtle or you're a skunk. Everybody is. A turtle, when they face conflict, they pull their head inside and they just kind of, they don't want to ruffle feathers. They want to keep the peace. So they keep their head inside and they hope that it will go by and you don't have to talk about it anymore. That's a turtle. Don't let the size of the skunk fool you. Because when they let go what they came to let go, oh, you gonna know that the skunk was present. So either you're one where you gotta let it out, so you got to express it. I just got to talk about it. I can't hold it. You got to hear what I'm thinking right now. If they think it, they gotta say it. That's the skunk. The skunk does not know how to think something and keep it in. If the skunk thinks it, they gotta let it out. The turtle, on the other hand, is thinking all the time. And oftentimes, you never hear what the turtle thinks. And if you're unwise, you'll be a skunk that never listens to the turtle. So now look at the person next to you and tell them which one you are. Say, I am a skunk or I am a turtle. Tell them, which one? Hey, hold on. By the way, if you say it depends, you're unaware of who you are. Because I know some of y'all be like, it depends. No. You one or the other for the most part. So call it who you are. You're either a turtle or you're a skunk. But you ain't both. You one, predominantly one or the other. Look at your next neighbor and say, I am a... Finish the sentence. Go, look at them. Tell them real quick. Now. Here we go. Come on. Let's go. So here's why this is so important, ladies and gentlemen. It's about you're going to need some special stuff in your life and give you the you don't care. You're going to shit. And even if everything in you say pull your head in, you're going to keep it out and risk being vulnerable. So you can share your side of the story. And if you're the skunk, you're going to learn to not tell everybody what you think. So you're going to learn to keep it in sometimes. Because sometimes you need to just take that to God and ain't nobody else need to hear. This week, every time I have to preach, this happens. Every time I have to preach a sermon on something like this, this week, Jada and I, I came home. I was in D.C. this week, and I came home on, I think it was Thursday, and I came home, and I said to Jada, I said, hey, I gave you, I gave you some money to handle something. Tell me about it. So in my house, Jada does the day-to-day, month-to-month issues, and I try to plan a little further out, right? That's how we kind of divide up our finances. So she, we were supposed to pay something, and I gave her X amount of dollars to pay it. And so I came home, and I saw something on the counter, and I said, well, I thought this was paid. Conflict is brewing. So then it's time to go to bed, so I'm getting ready for bed and stuff. And say, hey, I thought I gave you the resources to take care of this. What's up? Well, no. It's yes or no. So I didn't say that so she could hear. That was all in my mind. In my mind, I said, hey, no. It's yes or no. Did you pay it or did you not? I didn't say any of this. None of this is coming out. It's all in my brain. So then she continued. She said, well, you know, what really happened was, and I'm like, it don't take a dissertation. Oh, in my mind. It didn't come out. So then, now the conflict's starting to brew. So then I'm like, God, you know what? She need to apply the truth this time. I don't need to apply. She need to apply truth. And then God reminded me, she hadn't heard the sermon yet. Only you have heard it. So we continued on the path. And after a while, I just said, stop talking. Just stop. You don't need to say anything else. You know why I don't need to say in that moment? You know why I didn't need to say anything else? Because she's explaining her side of the story. And I'm trying to get to the ultimate point of saying, you either deceived me or you lied. But it wasn't that big a deal. For me, it wasn't. It wasn't that big a deal. Either you paid or you didn't pay. You got the money to pay, great, okay, we're good. Right? In my mind. But I wanted to make a point. But I didn't. So she didn't hear this story until she was sitting here in the last service. So all she heard was, okay, babes, have a good night. I'm good. You know what? Because it wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't that big a deal. It really wasn't. It was like she's going to pay it over the next 2 months, and she has all the money for it. She just didn't want to pay it all up front. She liked paying it because she likes to see extra money in her account. Well, if I know that, it's not a big deal. So I just relaxed. Now. But God had to remind me, you make the first move. And the first move sometimes means I don't say nothing. You overlook it. It's not that big a deal. Quit fighting over everything. Everything got to be an argument. Everything. And by the way, when you watch this now, when you overlook it, don't think you're more godly because you overlook it. Because I know some of y'all be like, well, I'm more godly. And by the way, just know that if it happened again, I was godly the first time, so I'm keeping score. Because I know how some of y'all are. You make the first move. Now, let me tell you why you don't make the first move. Come here, skunks. Let's deal with the turtles first. Turtles, here's why you don't make the first move. Watch this chart. It's on the back of your page. You don't make the first move because of this. Because you begin the process. Why? Because you're afraid of rejection. You don't want to stick your head out because it might get chopped off. So because you're afraid of rejection, you're afraid of being misunderstood. Turtles. So you don't want to have this conversation because you're like, well, if I get on this path, I mean, they can articulate it better than me. They use words better than me. So I just don't want to talk because if I talk, I can't really explain. And they really don't want to hear what I have to say. So I'm just going to keep quiet, pull my head in, instead of ultimately them using it against me later. And ultimately, they're not interested in connecting with me at a real level. They like the pseudo me. They don't really want to hear my heart. And you skunks, oftentimes what you do is you talk so much you don't know when to shut up. And you don't know when to realize, hey, you got to get it out of them. They're not going to voluntarily tell you. And the relationship will never get deeper and more meaningful until sometime you shut the heck up and just ask questions and pull it out of them. And so many of you are experiencing the Cold War. Ain't no bullets being fired, but you will never get to deep intimacy. Oh, that's so good. And you'll never get there because you talk too much. And turtles, you never get there because you don't want to risk saying, hey, I have an opinion. Can I share what I got? And so what happens for you turtles is you build it up, you build it up, you build it up until you just come out like a lion. You're like, hold on, I thought you were a turtle. And some of you turtles so good at it, you just be like, okay, okay, okay. And then you go to work one day, you come home, the whole house empty, gone. Move to another country, talking about, I'm in Paris. What's wrong with y'all? Turtles, here's how you go. Your response, this is for my skunks. You get defensive. So therefore you get demanding. And whenever you get demanding, it reveals your insecurity. And then you get controlling. And this is a telltale sign that you got issues. And it ultimately end up being distant. You just can't deal with them no more. Which means you withdraw, you hide, and you build walls. You're not interested in building bridges. You're just interested in building walls. And by the way, be careful, because many of you go to churches sometimes, and they'd be talking about, yeah, you need to cut that person out of your life. And you'd be like, yes, 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 yes. And you'd be saying, that's a word for me. That's a word. Cut them out. Cut them out. Cut them out. I receive it. Listen. Listen, 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 listen. You are receiving a block from God because you're supposed to deal with that relationship, not cut it out. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. You just don't get to cut it out. You need to deal with the relationship, and then if you need to put up boundaries, that's cool, but you need to deal with it and quit cutting people off like they never existed and treat them like they're dead to you. You make the first move. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, make the first move. Number two, ask God for wisdom. Number two, wisdom. Here's what it says. But if any of you lacks wisdom, hey, God can't wait to give it to you because he gives to all generously and withhold reproach, and it will be given to him. Go to your closet and say, God, I don't know how to handle this. God, this is very nervous for me. I don't know how to deal with this one, God. You go to your closet and you beg God for wisdom in order to deal with this scenario, but you don't get to just deselect. Quit acting like the rest of the world. Come on, it's time to grow up. Grow up. Quit being a baby. Quit being, I want what I want and I want it now. That's how most of us live. I want what I want and I want it now. Y'all need to come up with a rap song on that. I want what I want and I want it now. I want what I want. Because that's how you live your life. You live your life like that. I want what I want and I want it now. And when you have two people that are living like that, you have chaos. And the world marvels and say, are y'all Christians? And that's how you live? So that's why you need to go to God and say, God, I don't know how to do this. My mama never did it. My daddy never did it. They just cut people off and keep moving. But I can't continue that legacy. I want something different. I want to be blessed, but the only way it can be is if I become a peacemaker. Number one is you make the first move. Number two is you ask God for wisdom. You don't want number three. Number three says, you begin with what's my fault. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't come up with nothing, that's your fault. It's because you're an immature Christian. Let me say that again. If you can't come up with nothing in every conflict, that's your fault. That's because you're an immature Christian. Don't tell nobody you're mature. It's because you're a babe in Christ and you don't know yet how wicked you are internally. But I'm going to show you today how wicked you are. Praise the Lord, somebody. Because we all have the tendency. I always think I'm right. I always think my side's the best side. And God said, hey, before you even get to them, you make the first move. You ask me for wisdom, and then you identify where's your fault. This is huge. This is so huge. Even if 99.9% of the issue is theirs, you made a mistake, excuse me, in that you could have been a little more gracious. You could have been a little less defensive. You could have not blamed them as much as you did. Because here's what you need. This is so huge. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to teach you something today. And if you apply this, you'll have a life that marvels everybody around you. I'm going to teach you right now. When you get upset and angry, really what's happening to you is you're getting filled with hot air. That's really what's happening to you. You're getting filled with hot air. And it's blowing up, and they're like, don't test me. So what's happening to you? There's one little miracle sentence you ought to say to yourself first and then to the person you're having the conflict with. Here it is. You ready for it? I promise this works every time. I'm going to say it, and then I want you to say it three times because I need you to get it. Here it is. I am sorry. I was only thinking about myself. I am sorry. I was only thinking about myself. Say it by yourself now. I am
sorry.
Every single time you do that, this is what happens next. The air goes out of the person, and now you get to have a conversation. Here's all he's saying. He's saying, hey, my bad. Hey, I'm sorry. This really don't have nothing to do with you. I was thinking about myself first. I didn't even consider how you might have perceived the situation. And the problem is some of you are so arrogant, you think you know everything they have thought about it and that all they're thinking is wrong. And therefore, you have thought about yours and theirs. You know everything about yours and everything about theirs because you read their minds, because you know exactly how they think, how their mama think, how their great-grandmama think. And so you know everything, which means you're arrogant, which is why you need to start. I am sorry. I don't know your full story. I don't know everything there is to know about you. I have assumptions that I've made. I'm sorry. I was only thinking about myself. Say that to yourself again. I'm sorry. I was only thinking about myself. There it is. It works miracles. Here's why this is important. Number three simply says, let's begin with my fault. Here's why it's your fault. Listen, don't miss this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your fault because whenever you interact with somebody else, this is so huge. This is really, really huge. Whenever you interact with somebody else, for you to get mad at them, there has to be already something inside of you that's just coming out. You see, spiritually mature people, all they do is sit back and watch. You will tell on yourself how immature and ungodly you are. All you got to do is watch, because what's inside of them must come out. So if they have peace inside of them, when you're going, they'll respond with peace. What do I need to do to change this environment? You see, but if you have envy, malice, jealousy, hatred inside of you, and they go, what they're showing you is that's what they have inside of them. And when you respond, what you're showing them is that's what you have inside of you. Which means now there's no room for the Holy Ghost. So what should be inside of you is patience, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. That's what the person that walks with God, that's what comes out of them. Which is why every time you does not come out, you need to die. Every time one of those, every time peace don't come out, patience don't come out, self-control don't come out, you need to say, it's my bad. I'm sorry. I was only thinking about myself and what I needed, and I was lacking a fruit of the Spirit which creates an environment. Peacemaker, please forgive me. It's only revealing what's already inside of you, and you ought to be ashamed of what's coming out of you instead of the fruit of the Spirit that should ooze out of you. See, the reason I know many of you don't read your Bible is because Bible don't come out of you. What come out of you is cuss words, which means you'll be listening to Snoop Dogg and everybody else because that's all that come out of them. It's cuss words. So the problem is change what you listen to and maybe some good will be inside of you to come out of you. Prayer pastor, you're preaching now. I'm going to throw this at somebody, but it might hurt you. So let me put it down real quick before I get in trouble right now. My God, if you change what you watch, and change what you listen to, and start listening to the Word of God, and start being mentored by people who love God, then maybe more of the fruit of the Spirit will come out of you. Preach, Pastor, preach, preach, Pastor, preach. Let's go. Come on, I got to go. My time's running out real fast right now. Number four, listen for their hurts and their perspective. Listen for their hurts and their... I want you to look at a verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This is a fascinating passage. The passage says, do not merely look... Everybody say this word two times. One more time. Do not merely look out for your own interests. But what I want you to do is also for the interest of others. In every conflict, don't just look out for your own interests. I want you to start with the interest of others first. That's where I want you to stop. Now, he uses a fascinating word. He says, look, it's the same word from which we get the word microscope. The same word from which we get the word telescope. This one right here. Here's what he's saying. Oftentimes in conflict, you got to look beyond the current scenario to understand where the person is coming from. So you got to look beyond that so you can find out their background. You got to look beyond that to find out their personality. You got to look beyond that to find out the circumstances that they're in that allows them to act the way they act. Because if you understand those, then you will understand why they're doing what they're doing. But the problem is we can't even wait for that because we so want them to have it. That we won't wait and exhibit some patience and kindness to fully understand them so we can be peacemakers. And the problem is that's what's happening in our world today. The reason why Democrats can't get together with Republicans, the reason why nobody likes the president, all of this is happening because we put ourselves first. And the way we fight it is we fight putting self first back at them. And I'm saying, come on. This is the time for Christians to thrive and be peacemakers. But instead, we're acting like the rest of the world. Let's keep going. So here's what he says. He says, I want you to listen. As you're hearing their story, listen for their hurts. How do I know their hurts? Three words. Put it in there. It says hurts, interests, and needs. What you're looking for, if you want to connect with people, start with their hurts, their interests, and their needs. Number four, speak the truth tactfully. Number four, speak the truth tactfully. In other words, many of you will say, well, this is just how I'm. I just tell the truth. I just tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. It's just how I am. Good. Well, we're not interested in you. We're interested in the God inside of you. You died, so Jesus is supposed to be living. So I know that's what you used to do. That's why you died. So Jesus can live through you. So the question now becomes, how do I speak the truth tactfully? How do I say it but frame it up so that they can receive it? My wife and I have some trigger words. You know some of these. Some trigger words that we don't say. Trigger words. You have trigger words too. So we never use the word divorce. We just don't use it. It just never comes up. There's some trigger words though that they're off limits. Off limits trigger words. Can I tell you some of them? So whenever Jada used the phrase like, all y'all Jamaicans. That's a trigger word. Don't blame the whole country for something I did, all right? I'm crazy, but don't blame the whole country. Here's another one she used. Here's another one. She loved this one too, but she knows she can't use it no more. When she says something like this. You call yourself a leader, huh? You know, when I don't want to have this conversation, I want to walk away. Okay, you know, let's talk about it later. She'd say something like this. You call yourself a leader. Is that what leaders do? Really right now? Do you really want to say that right now? Hey, let me tell you some of my choice words for her. Choice words. Heat a conflict. I say something like, You're just like all your family. The whole lot of them. The whole family. That's what it is. You want to get under her skin, just right under there. You just say, all of y'all Cobans, all of y'all. That's what y'all do. That's not cool. You want to stay away from trigger words. Here's a couple more I use, a couple choice words I use for her. This is why I can't talk to you. See, this is why I can't talk to you. This is why. You don't say that. You don't say that. I'll go one more, and then I'm done. We're just having a regular conversation. You can't even control your emotions and stuff. You can't even control your emotions. Come on, control all that. Don't take all that. Control all that. If I say any of those words, we go through the roof. So you got to, okay, I know it's the truth, but that don't mean you need to say it. And that don't mean you need to say it right now. And by the way, don't think you're godly when you hold it for 2 minutes and say, and then it comes out, well, I was godly. I tried. That ain't godly. Come on, let's go. I gotta go. Next one. You're going to get a magnet of this because I'm telling you, we need to do this. We must practice this. Next one, number six. Fix the problem, not the blame. Fix the problem, not the blame. We love to focus on who's to blame instead of dealing with. We spend all our energy trying to identify, well, it's your fault because if you didn't do this, but if you didn't do it, hey, save all that energy and let's focus on the real problem. What's the problem and how are we trying to get this resolved? Please note, ladies and gentlemen, the first five is about you. Now we get to the problem. But that's after you have evaluated yourself and checked yourself for five steps before we get to you. Then the last one. What's the last one? The last one is this. Focus on reconciliation, that is reestablishing the relationship, not the resolution, not fixing every single scenario. This is huge. Focus on reestablishing, okay, we have differences. You're going to have differences with everybody, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to. Jada and I have a lot of differences. We view things differently. A lot of things we view differently. But as we're dealing with these differences, I don't have to fix every last one of them. I want to make sure we have the relationship and the relationship is intact. And we can deal with the rest as we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to interrupt your access to God. A boy one day came to the White House and he saw a man sitting trying to get into the president. He says, hey, why are you crying? The man says, well, I've been trying to get into the president and they won't let me in and he's the only one that can solve my problems and I can't get in. He says, whoa, why not? Because every time I try to get in, they say, I don't have an appointment with the president. He looked at the man, looked at the gate. He held the man's hand and said, come with me. Little boy picked the man's hand up, walked with the man, went through the first set of guards, walked through the man, take through the second set of guards, went through the Secret Service, all the way through, went through some metal detectors, got all the way into where the president was. True story, by the way. Where the president was. The president, Abraham Lincoln. The little boy, his son. You see, once you know the Son, you got access to the Father. Listen. The reason you don't want to block access is because that's what you need, connection with God. But if you don't handle these conflicts well, then you break access because you break your relationship with the Son. It's your responsibility to not break fellowship, to not break, have your prayers not answered, to not prevent yourself from happiness. It's your responsibility, every relationship you have, to make sure you handle conflict well, to model it for the next generation, what that looks like, so that you can have access to your Heavenly Father. Father, this one's so huge, God, because so many of us struggle in this area. We deal with this every single day. Some of us are so toxic. Once the conversation starts, it goes left. Will you train us in this area, God? Will you develop us in this area? Will you teach us how to make the first move? Will you teach us how to ask you for wisdom? Will you teach us, God? Please. The world is waiting for some people that can say, that must be a son of God. That must be a daughter of God. Why? Because they're peacemakers. Because whenever they go into a scenario, whether it's in their own lives, or whether it's at the office, or whether it's on the ball field, or whether it's with their kids, or whether it's in the boardroom, they're not satisfied with being peacekeepers. I want to be peacemakers. Will you raise up a generation of men and women that love you enough and allow you full control of their lives enough so that we will pursue being a peacemaker? Help every last one of us, every person under the sound of my voice, answer the call to be sons and daughters of God. Test us this week, God. Test us, every last one of us. Test. Give us a scenario. Give us a conflict so we can walk into it and make the first move. Give us a conflict, God, so we can walk in it and ask for wisdom, so that we can say, here's my fault, so that we can listen for their hurts, so that we can be truthful yet tactful, so that we can fix the problem, not the blame, and so that we can focus on reconciliation, not resolution. Help us to practice your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, let's hear it for God. Come on, everybody, let's hear it for God.